Bread Time. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz. Am I supposed to say that? Is that what you're setting me up for?
And then we have a special guest, our very own Pablo Stanley. How are you doing, Pablo?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me. You guys are amazing. I've been hearing your podcast recently, and I was like, hey, I want to be there. I want to be included in the conversation. Sometimes I just want to get in there and say, Gabriel, what are you talking about? Like, seriously, I am like seriously just doing my commute and I want to jump in the conversation. So today is my opportunity to do that.
And I appreciate you being here so we can gang up on him.
Please, let's do that.
Ask and you shall receive. It's funny you mentioned a commute because I want to talk about a lifestyle that requires zero commute, which is the lifestyle of working remotely, which is something that you've embraced recently, Pablo. You're kind of a globetrotter. You're all over the place. What's going on there?
Yeah. So I recently joined a company called Envision, and Envision is all remote, which, by the way, I just found out that that apparently Envision is like one of the, I don't know if it's the biggest remote company that is all remote. And I think it's us and Automattic. The guys that make
WordPress.
WordPress, correct. So that took me by surprise. I didn't realize how big it was.
I had no idea that Envision was remote. That blows my mind, actually.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that was one of the main reasons I joined. So working remotely has given me the opportunity, as Gabriel is saying, to be a little bit of a nomad and just like traveling a little bit. Something that I didn't do before. Like, I hate it. I think I still hate travel.
I had one job where I worked remotely exclusively, and I was a front-end developer for that job. I did do some design work, but during that time, I wasn't considering myself a designer. I was considering myself a developer. And for that, being a developer felt pretty easy to work remotely because people told me what to do, and then I went and did that type of thing. And then I could report back like, hey, I completed this, and they could check out if it worked, if it met their design or their thoughts like asynchronously. It was all pretty easy. But how do you like design remotely? How do you do collaboration? Like, I want to hear about that.
It's a challenge for sure. I don't want to sound like I'm just like saying, oh, Envision is cool. But we do have a tool that is for collaboration that is called Freehand, and that allows us to do like in real time, like it's almost like a whiteboard. So it simulates the experience of being inside in front of a whiteboard. And that's something that I really miss from being in an office. But it like the digital Freehand tool from Envision, it kind of mimics that experience. That is one part.
So you're having like a voice meeting like this, like we're like together and talking, but at the same time, we can share like a space where we're actually graphically representing our thoughts. Is that like the gist of it then?
Exactly like that. Whereas like you're in a call, you're probably in a video call, but then you just leave the video call on audio and then you go to the whiteboard and then you're just like discussing ideas. Sometimes it will be just a person sharing the screen, and then over the screen, just people talking, and that screen could be like using that Freehand or using our tools. I think the collaboration part, it's almost everything. You have to do it with these digital tools, you know? And one of them is this Freehand, but also Slack. Some people, I think they use Stride, I think it is, the one from Atlassian. I don't know. But kind of Slack becomes the office, you know? It's this place where you actually go and you do the conversations and everything, but you treat it as that place where people are. So everything has to happen there, and even the collaboration part. It's almost like talking and just like going over ideas when it's just like something that you don't need to have that, like, I don't know, high touch part of it where you could just talk on it.
I believe that the focus time is better remotely. Like, you're able to spend more time dedicated to actually moving pixels around and creating work. Like, I think that's better if you have private space to do so. But I'm really curious, how do you replicate kind of the water cooler moments at an office? Those moments where you're just serendipitously bumping to someone and kickstart a conversation, and that leads to some sort of initiative. Or, you know, when you're like bumping to in the like the kitchen and you're talking about X, Y, or Z. Those things, I assume you can't just leave them to happen organically when you're in a distributed situation. Have you experienced ways to replicate that remotely?
You know, that's something that I wish we I was able to figure out, because that's one of the main things that I do miss from working in an office. I mean, there are ways that we do it on Slack. We even have a water cooler like channel, but it's seriously not the same of what you're describing, where you're describing and you just like randomly start talking about something, and then that conversation leads to something else, and then suddenly you're talking about a project or a specific thing that you were trying to fix, or just like you get to meet the other person when you're just talking and you just meet people like randomly. And that's something that I actually kind of miss. We do have one thing, a little tool on Slack. I go back to Slack, where it's called the donut. I don't know if it's something just exclusive to Envision or everybody has this thing. It's kind of like a bot that it introduces you to other people. So it's just like, hey, you should meet this person that works in a totally different department and just like Slack them. And if you want to go for a coffee, a virtual coffee, it's on Envision, and probably you can go to a coffee and then just like meet on a call, and the other person is also having a coffee, something. So it's just like almost like trying to mimic that experience, but it's not really there, and it's something that I really miss.
Okay, I got one. So when I worked remotely, one thing that I noticed happening was I would go through these periods of increasing doubt in what my coworkers thought of me. So I would think, oh God, they think I did bad at this one thing. Maybe I did screw up at something. And then that thing like starts to build over the course of time until I would start to really doubt myself and think like, everyone clearly hates me here. And then I would get like some little piece of feedback, like good job on this or whatever. Over our like text chat, and then I'd be like, oh, it's okay. Do you ever have like this sense of doubt working remotely, or is that just a me thing?
Let me ask you, this experience that you're describing, were you the only or one of the only people that were working remotely, or were everyone working remotely?
So this company was half remote and half on site.
Yeah, I think when not all the company is working remotely, it can create this sense of like the people are working remotely are almost like they almost feel like second class citizens in the organization, because they don't get to be in the meetings that the people that are in the office are. They don't get to be in those conversations that Gabriel is actually describing, the ones that just happen randomly, you know. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to be in those calls, and you don't get to be in those conversations, and then suddenly there are decisions that are made without your consideration, you know. You don't even know, and then suddenly people are moving towards something else. So then it can sense the feeling of like you're not included, which is kind of related to what you're saying. Now, I do still feel those kind of things even when I'm working, like we're all remote. Like sometimes I feel like I need to like appear busy, you know, like mm-hmm. seniors not present in an office, you kind of like feel a pressure to be online every time and every hour. And it's like, hey, I'm doing something. Hey, like I'm not just at home being lazy. I'm actually here. And
what you're talking about is really interesting, because I remember often I was feeling like, oh, I hope they know I'm working because I am really working. So as I was making my commits for my websites generally that I was building, I ended up just like committing a lot more than I normally would. Instead of like larger batches of commits, I would do like way smaller commits. So they saw like, oh yeah, he's still committing. Yeah, he's still pushing. I was like trying to show like, hey, I'm here, I'm doing stuff. Like, cause I wanted them to know, yeah, I am actually working.
Yeah. Like you needed to prove yourself, right? As like proving like, hey, I'm here. I feel like when we're all remote, we're all in the same way. So you don't need to be proving yourself too much, but still you do want that. Like you do want people to know that you are onto something. So it's actually encouraged to over communicate the company, because there are so many channels, man. There's just like, again, Slack, there's Jira, there are boards, and there are the Google Sheets, and there's the paper, and then there's the freehand, and all these little places where communication happens. And then you cannot just say, hey, I tagged you over this document that is buried somewhere else, so I suppose you know what I'm talking about, right? You have to really not only tag them in that document, but come back to Slack and tell them, and probably even tag them wherever, if it is a ticket, like tag them over there too, and just like make sure, hey, I'm just tagging you here for visibility. You know, you're a little bit more intentional with what you do, and you try to communicate more, which sometimes can create noise too if you don't balance it well. It's kind of weird.
Other than over communication, how has your work style changed now that you are completely remote? What other kind of tactics do you use to kind of make sense of it?
Yeah, you have to adjust. And I think after 8 months of being in vision, only until now, I feel like I'm starting to adjust and I'm starting to get it, which probably is a little bit too late. And hopefully, if you are listening to this, boss, I'm sorry, but I'm trying.
I mean, Clark from Envision definitely listens to this, right?
Clark from Envision, please, I'm doing my best. Like something that I like started doing is like treat it as a physical space. So like saying hi in the morning and also saying, hey, goodbye when you are going away, when you're going to stop working and, hey, I'm going for lunch. You know, those little details make it, again, it reinforces the idea that, hey, we're all here. This is our place where we're working.
So you're saying that I should start saying hi and goodbye when I go to the office?
Yeah, it's obviously this is a little detail, but it's something that wasn't very obvious in the beginning. You know, that is like we are in a digital space and then this digital space, we should treat it with those same manners that I did on a physical space. Also, like the meetings, like, well, now it's in a video chat, you know, and like instead of grabbing a room, well, you have to grab someone's calendar and put in a video chat, then have that conversation going on there. Something else that I started doing is the commute. And I know you said, Gabriel, that you don't do commute anymore. And actually, I do my commute, which is really dumb. But in the morning, I actually just wake up. I put on my clothes like if I was going to work. You know, I put on my pants. I put on shoes, like put on my work costume. And then I go out and I at least go around the block and then come back. Because then...
Wait, you walk or you do a lap around the block?
At least a lap. At least one block. And this is just... it's so weird, but I realized that I needed that mental separation from I'm at home and then suddenly I'm not at home. Now I'm coming to the office, you know, like I will dress up and I will just like do whatever I used to do when I used to go to real office, like I drink water and whatever. And then I could make coffee before I walk. But then it's like, I remember, no, I usually get coffee when I go to the office, when I arrive to the office, because kind of a routine. So I will go for a walk, do my commute, and I will listen to my podcast and I will listen to Bread Time because I need to. And then I will come back to home, but now I'm arriving home, but I'm actually arriving to the office. So it's that mental change where I'm going to work now. You have to make those routines that remind you you're working now. And then suddenly, okay, I need to stop working and I will do my commute back home too. And I know it sounds like weird and it sounds like, although you're just going around the block, but it really helps.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I would wake up in the morning, I'd go out and just go get a coffee, even though I could make one at home, just to get out of the house. Then I'd come back, start working. I'd work for like the whole morning from home. And then I would go out where I'd get like coffee and lunch at a coffee shop and work there for the afternoon and then come home, finish anything else up and then say like, I'm done for the day. But like, if I didn't have the routine where it felt like I had official things to do at official times, then I always felt like an overwhelming sense of like, oh, I should be working now, but I'm not because I'm doing something else. So I had to like force the routine on myself.
Yeah, totally. It's funny that you're mentioning also going to another place where like a coffee shop or something. For me, when I do that, it's mostly because I feel like we're social animals and like being alone at home all day can start to realize that it starts to mess with my head. And so I was like, oh, what the hell? I need people. Like it's something that it actually was really surprising for me. I thought I was an independent individual that didn't need people around him, and I realized that no, if I'm not around people for a little bit during the day, I can go insane.
So this is interesting to me because I recently, well, not that recently, but a year ago, I moved to New York. And since then, the one way I keep in touch with most of my friends from California is through this little app called Discord, which is very much a virtual space that it feels pretty alive. And I'm curious if you guys have noticed what makes these apps feel like a live virtual space, because I think that we are seeing a lot of innovation going on here. The first thing that comes to mind is each channel is like a voice channel that people can go in and out without asking for permission. And it feels really organic. It feels like literally walking into a room where a conversation is happening and then you can walk out easily.
Something that we're actually doing, like every morning, we do a stand-up, like a stand-up meeting. So that also like signals everyone, hey, I'm here and this is what I've been working on. This is what I intend to do today. And this is what is blocking me. So that actually helps also sometimes.
Yeah, something else I've noticed that Discord does is that they reveal what game you're playing. Like you're playing Apex Legends or you're playing StarCraft or you're listening to Spotify. And that kind of signals to the entire group that this person is available and they're playing something that you might want to play with them.
Well, what you're saying just like excited me about Discord. It actually like would suffice a little better than Slack in certain ways if you think about it. Because like you can program it to like just show what you're doing. So if I'm like working in Sketch, if I have Discord open on my work machine, it just says like, oh yeah, like working in Sketch or working in Origami or whatever tool I'm using on. I could like have it programmed to say that. And you could actually have like a group of people like who are working together and you kind of get a sense of like what they're doing. Is it's like that asynchronous type of thing, like, oh, what are you working on in Origami today or something, you know, like, but also like the idea of voice channels, right? Like I'm working and then like having video on the whole time might be kind of like a little too exposing in some way, but it's like, maybe I just want my voice out there. And like, if you want to come work with me, we can chit chat in this room or whatever.
It's almost like because you're in the context of work, or in the case of Discord, you're in the context of gaming, you're willing to give up certain aspects of your privacy. Like you're willing to leak to them that you're on Sketch or you're on Spotify or whatever. It's because that context makes it okay, right? Where like any other app, you wouldn't want to leak that stuff constantly because it's a different setting.
The other type of apps that do this type of thing is fitness apps, right? So it's like, yeah, that person is working out right now and I can join their class and do the same thing they're doing or whatever. Like there's within certain contexts and certain groups of people, like being more exposed in those certain ways is advantageous because there's like a trust thing going on there and it ends up causing there to be those like nice experiences that would happen in real life.
Pablo, here at Bread Time, we don't pull any punches. So it's time to take a hot take. Do you think the future of working is remote? If you had to choose between remote or, I guess, what's the opposite of remote? Local? Local work. What do you think is better? And where should we lean as an industry?
I think the future is a mix, but there is definitely going to be more companies moving in that direction. I think that we're already seeing that. There is definitely an opportunity for a lot of startups, for a lot of new companies. They can get more talent, not just in a specific place, but suddenly when you decide to be remote, then you can hire people from any place in the world, which for me, it's something that I think is beautiful and in a way that you can work together on something. And I think, yes, the future is remote, or at least a bigger part of the workforce could be remote. I'm very optimistic, but but I can understand why some people might be skeptical about it.
Cool. Well, we're not skeptical about having you in our episode, Pablo. Thank you so much for being a part of Full Time. And we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, see you on the other side. By the way, thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you on the internet so they can check you out?
Yes. So you can find me on the Twitters, the Twitter, twitter.com/Pablo Stanley. Also on the YouTubes. On the YouTubes, I have a channel called Sketch Together, and it's mostly just like design tutorials and like basic skills, design skills.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and thank you very much, listeners, for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
Ow! 100%. I invited myself, by the way. I messaged the company. I was like, hey, dude, come on. Can I be in your show? I've been listening to your podcast on my commute. I want to be there. So thank you for having me. Thank you for being so open. So you can, if you want to be on the show, just message Gabriel and probably he'll invite you.